water on it and I'll make it grow and I'll give you crops. He said, no, there's some statutes that I've given you through your leader Moses. There's some commandments that I'm giving you. These are my words. These are my desires. And if you adhere to these things, if your life applies to these things are active in your life, then on the condition of those things will I bless you. And when you plant, it's going to flourish and grow. And your harvest will be bountiful. Verse 6 says, and again, on the condition of walking in statutes, I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none, everybody say none, shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beast out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. These are promises. These were covenants that he was willing to make with them. That if they would walk in his word and in his statutes, he'd rid the land of evil beasts. He'd let them live in peace and they would fear nobody. Verse 7 says, and ye shall chase your enemies. Not enemies chasing you. You're going to chase your enemies. And they shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 8 says, and five of you, everybody say five, shall chase 100. And 100, everybody say 100, shall of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you in verse 9 and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my comfort with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And verse 11, I set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. Verse 12 says, and I will walk among you and will be your God and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But, verse 14, but if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. These are the words of the Lord. I personally will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning of goat, and shall consume the eyes, and sorrow, and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto you. Even after he does all of these things. Now you would think, logically here, I hate pain. I despise suffering. I hate terror. And you would think after all the things, he talks about a fever so hot that your eyes burn. He said, if at the end of all those things, you still refuse to walk in my commandments, and you still refuse to live by my statutes, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying, when I get done with the first step and you still don't listen, on round two, I'm going to make it so that the clouds are like sheets of iron. That way no rain's coming down. He said, and it would be as though the ground is as brass. None of the soft soil stuff. You may be out there with a shovel or a pick trying to plant seed, but it's going to be hard. Shovel handles are going to break. Your back's going to hurt. Might as well be brass. These are things that God said, this is what I'm going to do. And your strength, in verse 20, shall be spent in vain. So all that work that you're going to do, waiting on the rain and digging through earth as hard as brass, it'll all be in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase. So he says, if by some means you're strong enough to get some seed through the brass ground into this soil, I'll destroy it once it's down there so that it doesn't grow. These are promises. These aren't like, you know what? I'll think about this stuff, and these are things I can do. He said, I will. I will. These are things that are going to happen. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me. So if that doesn't work, and in 21 you continue to walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Verse 23 says, and if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, so if all that stuff doesn't work, then, in verse 24, will I also walk contrary to you and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall make your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then will I not, just in verse 28, walk contrary to you, but I'll also walk contrary to you in fury. And I, now this is, I like the New International Version, these last two. Just in case you thought someone else was going to do all this stuff for me, he says, I. We're going to get real clear here on who's doing all this stuff. You see, there's sometimes people just count things up to chance or circumstance. It's coincidence. All of this couldn't be, you know, this couldn't have anything to do with God. This is all just coincidences in my life. He said, no, I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. In 29, ye shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. My goodness. Verse 30, I don't need to say any more about that. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. He's talking about his people. He's talking about the people that he just said a few verses ago, I'm the one who rescued you, who reached down and pulled you out of Egypt and took you out of bondage, and you walked with heaviness under bondage, and now I've set you free so you can walk upright and hold your head up high and know who you are. Chosen people. And he's saying that to those people, I will destroy you. I'll cut down your images and I'll take your carcasses and I'll cast them on the carcasses of all the idols that I destroy. And I will make, verse 31, your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein, shall be astonished at it. It's going to get so bad. There's going to be so much desolation in the land that the people that have even turned against you and caused to come in and destroy you and turn a sword against you, even those people, when they see what's going on, are going to be astonished. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate and be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. This stuff hasn't happened yet. He's laying down the law of things that, because if you go back, if you understand the Sabbath day and the whole process of every 7 days taking the sabbatical, and then I believe it was every 7 years that they had to take a sabbatical with the land, and that land couldn't have anything planted in it. And in the 6th year, I believe it was that the Lord created an additional harvest so they had enough food to go through the 7th year. But yet he realized in setting all this up was that somebody wasn't going to trust him in year 6 and trust that what he provided in year 6 was enough to get through year 7. So we're just going to go ahead and plant through year 7. Or they became greedy and said, well, if we got this much in year 6, let's put this back. What we get in year 7, we'll sell to our enemies and get the money back. The law said in year 7, the land remains dormant. The land gets a Sabbath. And he's talking here. He's saying, when all this transpires, finally the land will be able to get the Sabbath that I said it should have. Verse 36 says, and upon them that are left alive of you. So some survive all this. Can you imagine that? There's some left. It doesn't say how many, but it says everybody that survives this, that have lived through all this chaos and destruction. I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. The NIV and the Amplified Bible says that the sound of the flutter of a leaf will put fear in them and cause them to run. I've been around some pretty jumpy people in my life. But I never, well, I could take that back. I've been around a few people in a tent at night who would hear the rustle of a leaf. We're sure it was a bear. But he said that he would put such a faintness, there'd be such fear struck in their heart that even just the flutter of a leaf would cause fear and cause them to flee. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another as it were before a sword when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' hands and lands. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that when they be in the land of their enemies. I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. He goes through this entire dissertation of telling them what worthless fools they are and how he's going to basically wipe the earth of them. He explains his utter disgust with them and how when he's done with them, you read it. You're going to be eating your own kids. You're going to be scared to death of your own shadow. And I'm going to try to kill and wipe out as many of you as possible. And if some of you escape, it's going to be that you escape but into the hand of your enemies and you're going to be hanging out as hostages, taken captive. But those I will not utterly destroy. Because I made a covenant with our ancestors all those years ago, back with Abraham, when I called Abraham. I said, walk before me. I made covenants with him. I made promises to him. I swore to him because of his faithfulness. Because of the things that he stepped out in faith to do. I made covenants with him. When Abraham was gone, passed off the scene, and Isaac being the promised one, as he walked in faith and lived in faith, I made covenants with him. And as Jacob walked with me, I made covenants with him. And even in all of their failures, and in all of God's utter disgust with them, at the end of the day, he said, I have to remember and I cannot forget the covenants that I've made with that people. Think about this for a minute. You read the scriptures with me. I believe God was playing around. And I don't believe that God was contradicting himself in anything. I don't believe that he changes his mind at any point in all of this. The purpose of everything between verse 1 and verse 41, before you get to 42, was that he was a jealous God. He was a God who, he said, his glory would he not share with another. He was a God who desired unadulterated worship towards him. He had done so much for these individuals. He had brought them out of bondage and delivered them. And he just wanted their focus. He wanted their worship. He wanted relationship with them. He said, I'm going to walk among you. The scriptures that we read. And yet, he said, there's going to be times, and if you read through the entire Old Testament, you'll find the times where he becomes so angry with them. Even at times where Moses was the only thing that stood between God and them being wiped out. Moments where the Lord personally delivered them over into the hands of their enemies and allowed them to be captive. Allowed them to be defeated in battle. Yet through all that, his purpose in that was that he was trying to bring them back into right relationship with him. That was what he desired all along. And that was the purpose of his covenant. That was the purpose of the promises that he made with Abraham in the very beginning. I want to be in relationship with you. I want you to trust me and I want to trust you. As I begin to read these things, I read through this entire chapter, and as I got down to verse 41 and 42, I felt so strongly concerning these things today. And here's what I felt. I believe that there are people that are here today, some who may not be here today, who can identify with some of the things that we read today. Whether it be that the Lord has brought you through things, that the Lord delivered you out of things, that the Lord saved you, and yet you turned from Him, and maybe you've made your way back to Him, or maybe you've yet to make your way back to Him. Maybe there were commitments that you made to Him that you went back on. Maybe you've held firm to those commitments, but there were other parts of your life that have strayed. And we live under this guilt and condemnation that as we make our way back to God or we respond to His drawing, that He is in some way going to despise us or maybe accept us, but never truly accept us. He'll love us, but He'll never truly love us. He'll never love us like He did the first time. Or He'll never truly forgive us. And so I witness people, and I believe that people find themselves striving, trying to do things to get God to accept them. Or believing that He just doesn't altogether accept them, but they know what's right. They know what they need to do to be right. And so they just are doing those things, still believing that, well, He still hates me. I'm not here today to confirm or deny the terror or the disruption or the distraction or the situations that you're going through, whether or not those are by God or whether or not He's trying to get your attention or whether they're just part of life. I'm not here today to discuss those things. What I am here today to tell you is that He does not forget the covenants and the promises that He's made with you. He never forgets those things. No matter how far we stray, and we see a group of individuals here today, and I don't believe that anybody, I say this with a confidence, I don't believe that anybody in this room today has strayed to the place with God where He feels the way that He felt about His people towards you. Where He just wanted to wipe you out. Where He wanted to just, you're gone, you don't exist anymore. If He did, He could. In a moment. But yet even feeling that way about individuals, He still never forgot the covenants that He made with them. Now, let's jump to the New Testament. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written," this is Paul writing to the church, the New Testament church, people just like you and us, "whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Everybody say, "our learning." Some people say, "well, that's the Old Testament. It doesn't apply today." All scripture, he told Timothy, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here, Paul writes to the church again and says, these things are written for our learning, for my learning. When I read these things, I'm getting something from them. Even though I live in a different dispensation, even though God doesn't deal with man the same way He always did, He has different means. And He gives me grace today to endure the things that He asked me to endure and the things that He puts on me. But yet He said these things in the Old Testament were written for my learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. My hope today is, what I have hope in, is that God has made promises to me in His Word. And those promises will not return void. The covenants that He's made with me, the things that He's spoken into my spirit, the things that He put in me, the things He instilled in me, the day that He filled me with the Holy Ghost, the day that He called and chose me, Jesus, Those things don't go away. Here's a promise that he made, John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a covenant he made. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet there's some who in the middle of distress automatically think, well, this, you know, I'm going through this because God hates me, because I failed him at some point. And I'm never going to be comforted because I did this and this and this. And I have this checkered past and I have all this stuff. No. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a covenant. That's a promise of his word. And if he remembered the covenants he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he has not forgot the covenants of the New Testament, which is his will and testament that I'm bound to. If he remembered the ones with Abraham, he's not going to forget the ones that I'm bound to. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a covenant. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He doesn't forget his covenants. He doesn't forget his promises. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Once God calls, once he chooses, he doesn't forget those things. And though I may stray and I may get away from, I may walk completely away from the calling. I may walk completely away from the gifting. I may leave it by itself and walk away from the gifting that he's given me. God never takes that stuff back. He doesn't pull it away from me and forget about it. You know how many destitute, maximum security, hopeless dudes I've sat beside at prison services and just had them weep and say, God called me to preach when I was just a teenager. That calling didn't go anywhere. Just because they did something that landed them behind bars, God didn't say, well, you're not called anymore. Now, the path may be a little bit more difficult than it was before, but the calling didn't go anywhere. I've met some very gifted people behind bars. People who could sing, people who could play. I got my start singing and playing in church, and then I got hooked up with the wrong crowd and ended up in here. That gifting, God didn't give that to you and then just takes it away at some point. He doesn't forget those things. He gifted you for a specific purpose. And if you're here today with the gifting and you've traveled afar and you've gone off and you've done your own thing and you're sitting here wondering, or you have wondered in the past whether or not that gifting's still alive, I'm here to tell you today it is. That's right. Because he doesn't forget the covenants. He doesn't forget the promises. He doesn't forget the giftings. He doesn't forget the callings. It's still there. No matter how far they journey away, and no matter what enemy it was that he delivered them into, he was still there every time waiting, ready to take them back as soon as they would turn, cut down the groves, smash the idols. Say, I'm ready. We need you. Deliver us. He's no different with you. You who he's chosen. New Testament says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget the covenants he's made with you. He loves you. He's gone nowhere. And the moment that you think he's forgotten is the moment he's remembered. Just when you get to the bottom of the 26th chapter, you think, man, these people are done. All humanity's given up hope on him. He says, but I remembered the covenant I made. Can we pray together for a moment here? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, he kararoboro bahashiki araneya, he lororobos oromahashiki arane, he lororobose aramashikarondo romahakaye, he lorombose kiarane iroboshea, he lorobose arane arondo shokorobaye. Father, though I've journeyed far, though I have family members that have journeyed far, Father, your calling, your election did not change. They remain sure, Father. Your spirit is still drawing them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Halomuro mahashiki arande alala burro buri alala maki. Hilolobose arande alala mahia shoromoki arabaye. In Jesus' name. Would you stand together? Pray again for a moment here. Halalabos Romahashiarane. Hilolomos Romaharamashiaromoromakiaranea. Hilolaburomaharamashiarondoromakiaranea ramaye. Father, I believe in this very hour that you're reaching for me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Halaboro bahashiki ana. Hila la laboro mahashiki arande ala laboro baye.
Praise God. It's interesting how deliberate the Spirit of the Lord can become. Almost like if everybody is, if I can use the word, in tune with the Spirit of God, it's almost like you can all, you, it feels like everybody's seeing the same channel. And I'm on the screen. And if he keeps talking, they're going to know it's me. That's how evident it begins to feel in the spirit. And there are individuals in the room that the Spirit of the Lord is appealing to, saying, I know where you are. Listen to me. And agree with me that I know where you are. You know, when we make an appeal and say, we're going to open this altar. You know what that's for? That's for you as an individual to say and act on like this. I agree. With everything that you've been saying to me, Lord, I am stepping out in acknowledgement. Now, I can do the same thing like this. I can go, or it's not the same. It's the opposite. Hurry up, hurry up. Let's get this passed. I'm going to get out of here. Or like, there's got to be somebody else in this room that the Spirit of the Lord has zeroed in on, and it's not me. I don't think. And if I wait long enough and they just move on to something or dismiss or something, then the Lord wouldn't talk to me. But did you feel the appeal? Mm-hmm. Now, nobody's invited you to step out or come to an altar. But did you feel the appeal of the Holy Ghost? When I was young, I was the master at waiting it out. I became the master at waiting it out. Watched friends, others respond, yield in a crowd. But I was with a group that didn't allow very much pressure or to wait very long. It was one of those quicks. Okay, anybody, slip up a hand, slip up a hand. If you slip, you know, don't want to, no pressure. There's nothing here about pressure. It's all about opportunity. The giftings of God have been in operation in this room since we began this service today. Do you acknowledge that? Several individuals, it was evident of the manifestation of his glory, his input, his expression into the room where we are here saying, I want, I need, and help me, Lord. And so he has come saying, here I am, and through various words spoken, songs sang, appeals given. It's your moment. Isn't it interesting that the Lord is not the one who says, you and I'll handle this privately between us. Matter of fact, I never saw any evidence in Scripture of him doing that. Matter of fact, there were times when they had all the camps out there standing waiting. Okay, let's make a line. And wherever this line breaks, you and you, what's going on? Boy, in front of all. This is your moment. Just agree with God. Amen. Just agree with God in the moment. The expression of the Lord has already spoken to you as an individual and illuminated things in you, to you, through his word. About a place that can come together closer between you and him. Amen. Maybe you'd like to step out into agreement. Maybe you'd like to just make a step out. just an acknowledgement to the Lord of the things that have been spoken and said here to you. And you're saying to the Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you're helping me. You're drawing me. You're speaking to me. And I'm willing and I want to present myself to you and for you to continue to touch and minister and heal things in my life and in our relationship. That little broken area, that area that's become broken between us, Lord. Come on, that was so illuminated in this gathering. That little area that's broken between us, you're carrying on, these other things being right, but that little area that has become broken, separated between us. Come on, let's pray for His help. Let's pray for His help. Let's pray for His ministering touch in the house here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The gifting doesn't leave, but sometimes the venue for the exercising of the venue or the gifting changes. The venue changes. The place of administration changes. Come on, but His gifting hasn't left you.
Spirit still say,
hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just stand before the Lord. Just present yourself
to Him and before Him. Hallelujah.
What your heart and soul say.
We stand in admission to Him, Lord. I'm without you, I can do nothing.
Your heart and soul,
I want to be joint with you. I want to stand in agreement with you.
Will your spirit still
hallelujah,
say,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
If I told you what,
in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Take me further, Lord. Lead me deeper. Lead me deeper, Lord. Jesus, take me further in you, Father. Let your word accomplish and fulfill your work in me, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Your spirit still say.
In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Require of
hallelujah.
Thee. Would your heart and soul say
hallelujah. Jesus.
Will your heart and
your
soul
miracle touch, Lord Jesus,
yes.
That we believed you for Sky and David earlier, Lord.
Will
we wait upon you now. For those kneeling
yes.
Here, for those standing and presenting themselves to you now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Would your heart and soul say,
Jesus, with you all things are possible to them that believe, Lord.
Would your spirit still say,
hallelujah.
Just say yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.